Welcome back to another episode of Farmer Soul. I'm your host, Kyle, and today we got another special guest with us. If you can introduce yourself.
Yep. So my name is Daryl Monroe. I am a managed care pharmacist, also titled as a rebate account executive, and former grad of UMKC School of Pharmacy, also a grad of Mizzou, M-I-Z. Hopefully somebody says Z-O-U out there. but super happy to be here today, man. It's definitely an honor to be here, talk with you, chat it up. So, yeah.
It's an honor to have you here. Okay, he said he a big alum. What you mean? Might it up. All right, so we're going to go into our first question. So I know you said you're in managed care pharmacy. What made you want to go into that specialty? And overall, like, I guess, what do you do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. I think to go into managed care, bro, honestly, I got interested way back, like, early pharmacy, even before pharmacy school. Mm-hmm. So I did an internship with Express Scripts in St. Louis, and it was a part in, like, their pharmacy operations internship. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of like a mail order pharmacy, but seeing prescriptions like that was something that was totally different. I mean, they shipping like 50,000 medications outside the door. And that's when just kind of like pinged a light bulb. It was like, wow, pharmacy is a little bit different than what I usually see. Mm-hmm. As far as like your CVS, Walgreens, different things like that, like what we see with our naked eye. Mm-hmm. And so met a couple of different pharmacists there and realized just kind of like what managed care was and some of the different roles there. So that was like my first interest in managed care pharmacy.
Okay.
Then getting into pharmacy school, interest changed up a little bit. Just thought about different roles in pharmacy. Really, I always had like that business side that I was always interested in. Mm-hmm. Like once upon a time, I was interested in like accounting, like an undergrad. So
props to you.
Like numbers was always interesting type. And so getting into pharmacy school, realizing that I could do like part of that business aspect, I thought like if I can combine pharmacy business together, I was like, that's probably like a perfect role for me. Mm-hmm. So that's what like sparked the interest in managed care. And then really how I got there, man, that's a journey. Like when you ask like what is managed care, like most people just have no idea what that even means.
Yeah.
It's like a foreign term.
Low key though. They don't talk about it in school either. They really don't.
No. And I was like, so many pharmacy schools like across the nation, everybody always says that they were like, oh, they just push like clinical hospital. Mm-hmm. That's all we really learned retail. About in school. Yeah, exactly. And so like trying to get there, I think was super challenging for me just because like I really didn't know anybody in the space besides maybe a few students that I had internships with before. Mm-hmm. That kind of got into that space, but nobody from UMKC or nothing like that. I think we have a AMCP chapter or Academy of Managed Care Pharmacy chapter here, allegedly.
What do you mean by that?
wasn't really active, so had to seek out some different guidance within that. So that's kind of like when I actually developed like the LinkedIn account, probably like second year of pharmacy school. Reached out to different people, asked about what managed care was, looked mm-hmm. at the different organizations they worked at. But then when it came upon like P4 rotations, was able to get a couple managed care rotations. I think that was around the time that I decided that I wanted to do residency. Mm-hmm. Because I was always kind of skeptical about that during pharmacy school too.
A lot of people are.
Yeah,
they really are.
Like who wants to get paid less for a whole year?
We're already doing rotations for free,
right? Man, paying to do rotations, right? By the way, but you know that's a story for another day.
What more do you want from me?
So you know, to get into that space, I knew I needed a residency just because. Most people were like, oh, okay, you could do, like, community for a few years, and then you could do that. Mm-hmm. Or the only other, like, direct way is to do a residency and get that experience that way because you can't get into pharmacy school. Like, I only had one managed care rotation because they say everything has to be patient-oriented. You only get, like, 2 non-patient electives at UMKC. Mm-hmm. So, luckily, I got a rotation in managed care, like, really early in July. She was great, serves as really like a mentor to me still to this day.
Okay.
Ended up pursuing residency, landed a residency at Navitus Health Solutions. Did a residency there all last year, so right up there in Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Very different from where we are today.
I hate it here! I want to go home!
And so, yeah, did residency and then ended up landing a gig after residency. So, long story short, that's how I got here.
Okay. That's what's up. Yeah. And I know you say you a numbers man. That's why you got the NBA too, right? Double degree.
My man, you know it. You know it. You know something about that. Yeah, man. I think during like my second year, I started the MBA program. Mm-hmm. And like even coming into pharmacy school, that wasn't something that they were really advertising. It was just kind of like, oh, you want to do that? That's cool.
We like, it's available, but right.
Yeah. It's like, oh, if you want to do it, that's cool. Like they're not going to push you to do it.
Right.
And so and I was like, So once they sold that, you know, some of those classes actually count towards your pharmacy electives, takes off classes in the MBA program. So I'm like, you need to tell me now I'm going to do it shorter. And you could do it at pharmacy school.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, no, yeah, you're going to have to sign me up.
That's
like,
what sold me. I saw that layout. I said, yep, that's for me.
That don't matter. That don't matter. Come sign this.
So it was set up perfectly. Like, I graduated back in December, so like a year, or not a year, 6 months after I graduated pharmacy school. But like, yeah, being able to start that, like, you now, you can graduate that at the same time and not have to go to school after that. Because who doing school after pharmacy school?
After I graduate, that's it. Don't mention school, nothing to me.
My man, city out of here.
I'm done. Been in school too long.
Yeah. I was like, also to direct the question back to you, how has that been for you in the MBA program? Like, what benefits have you seen so far?
I feel like it's been good for me. So I'm currently taking one business class now, and then I got one more next semester, and I'll be done with the program. With both pharmacy and MBA. But I feel like so far it's been good for me, though. Yeah. Just overall, you get to see, like you said, the business side of it. And especially if you want to go into management of any type, or if you want to go into sales or anything like that, I feel like the MBA is really beneficial. Mm-hmm. In addition to your PharmD, like, obviously, it's not required for certain roles, but it does help you stand out. It does give you that little bit of an edge compared to your classmates, the competition, or whatever, whoever else is out there. Overall, I think it's just beneficial.
Yeah.
Real beneficial.
And even just like you said, like management, leadership, like, you know, aside from the different courses that you could take, I feel like leadership is really big for us. So, like, you know, if you're planning to be a leader in pharmacy and different things like that, they definitely look for MBAs.
Yep.
But even just a part, like you said, you setting yourself apart. Mm-hmm. A lot of the things that we go for are really competitive in a sense, right? And what you look like on paper usually just gets you in the door half the time, right?
Absolutely.
And once you get in the door, the world is yours. But, like, you know, just thinking ahead and doing things like that, the right track, exactly.
Definitely. And I noticed, too, like, when I would do rotations or anything else, I noticed that a lot of the pharmacy managers had MBAs at hospitals or anything else. So I'm, like, just paying attention to it. And I'm like, okay, like, if this is something I'm even interested in, get it now while I'm in school, while I got the time, whatever. And then just be done.
Yep.
Because, like I said, when school is over, that is it for me.
We out of here. Not that picking up no more books. Me.
Nothing. Nothing.
I'm done. Cut the show. I'm done. Take me off. Take me off.
Okay, so moving to the next question. So, as a black man, you know, in healthcare, in life, different things, how do you overcome stereotypes? And have you encountered stereotypes, I guess, in your career thus far?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. I feel like I've encountered, I don't even know if I call it like a stereotype, but I feel like, how do I word this? So I would say the most stereotypes I probably experienced was like during my time as an intern.
Mm-hmm.
I could vividly remember like working at Hy-Vee as a pharmacy intern, and then you tags with like counseling patients on all their new prescriptions and different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so during that process, you know, when you go to counsel somebody, right, and you give them XYZ counseling points, it's kind of like they look at you like,
Do you really know what you're talking about? Where's the doctor?
That's it, bro. No, that's it. Like, they literally like, yo, like, can I ask the pharmacist? And then, you know, when they come over and they tell them XYZ exactly like what I said.
To a T what you said.
Yeah, now we sitting here looking at each other like, that's interesting.
Ain't that what I told you?
Yeah. So, you know, that's why I was like, I feel like I experienced that like a lot. And as like a black person too, like as a black man in a pharmacy, you trying to be confident in what you saying. And then it kind of diminishes like your confidence in a sense too, because now, like, as we are the minority, I'm already thinking like what you thinking half the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm looking at you like, he probably don't know nothing. Like, look at him. But at the same time, and then when that happens, it like messes with the confidence. And I feel like as a pharmacy student, like that's super hard because as pharmacy students, I feel like our confidence is almost always like very
on the border. Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
And so going from school and going to work and experiencing that, that's a lot. And so I know that was like a trigger for me to like start working on like my confidence. I think during rotations, that was like some of the notes that I would get is just like confidence, like be confident in what you say, because what you said is right. Like that presentation you gave, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
But put some more oomph behind that.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's one thing that we just kind of have to recognize as like black males in pharmacy, that mm-hmm. those scenarios can't happen, but we can't let those break us down. In the same sense as well, because we have to continue to grow, get better. Believe in yourself. Those are like some of the most experiences that I had with stereotypes. I would say in the workplace today, thankfully, I would say I haven't experienced much. I would say the most stereotypes is always when I like say I'm like, oh, I'm an inspiring DJ, and they be like, oh, like what music do you listen to? You know,
it has to be rap.
Like, yeah, somebody said, oh, like, did you know, like, Kendrick Lamar? And I'm like, come on, bro. Like, let's not do that. Let's not do that.
Relax.
Yeah, you know, or they'd be like, oh, I think somebody was at work. She was like, oh, you don't know nothing about this little 70s, blah, blah, blah. And she get the label an artist. I'm like, oh, yeah, like, yeah, I know. Right. And they're like, very taken back.
Right.
And I'm like, come on, bro. Like, right. we don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. I'm like, I'm an old soul. Like, you just said anything go. From 89. I'm like, bro, I know that.
Absolutely.
But I would say, yeah, it's definitely out there, but I think that's something that we all trying to, like, cope with. And I think those are things that we got to, like, talk about in open spaces, too. Because, like,
for sure.
We, especially, like, just thinking, like, the stereotypes in, like, pharmacy school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what have been some things that you've seen as, like, a black male minority student in a classroom?
Let me tell you. So off rip. Black men, I feel like we're a double minority in pharmacy because women dominate the field of pharmacy now. It wasn't always like that, but in today's age, women dominate the field just a little bit more than men. And then, of course, as black people, we're the minority of majority of careers, but specifically pharmacy. So it's not many that look like me and you.
Yeah.
So off rip, I feel like that can be a confidence booster, or it can be kind of like imposter syndrome, where it's like, do I fit in here? Am I capable? Blah, blah, blah. And I feel like what you said, too, with the patients, I've had that same experience as an intern where you'll give a counseling point or you'll give them a vaccine. They'll ask you a question. You know what you're talking about, but then it's like they'll think you're not paying attention. They'll go ask the pharmacist. And I'm just standing there like, I just told you that. Like, I don't know what it is. And I feel like I've kind of experienced that in class where a professor will ask a question, and me or somebody who looks like me will give an answer. And then our counterparts, I say that our classmates, you know, they'll kind of, is that the right answer?
Are you sure?
Are you sure? Like, did you check the Carfax? Like,
I beg your pardon?
Like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of times it's just like, second guessing what we're saying. And this isn't like within the pharmacy school, but I remember me and my family, we was out of town one time, and I had just started pharmacy school.
Yep.
And my parents was talking to some woman, and she was like, they were like, oh, you know, he's in school at UMKC. And she goes, oh, what are you there for, basketball?
Oh my gosh.
Girl, you stupid, for real, you stupid.
Bro.
And
bro,
I looked at her, I looked at my parents, and we was like, they was like, no, he there for pharmacy school. She was like, oh,
the world has expanded.
Mind blown. And I was just like, I don't know, it's just it's these stereotypes that everybody has them, but just when people hear that, oh, you don't do certain things, or you do certain things, or you're a pharmacist, you this, you're that, it almost takes people aback, where it's just like, wow, like, oh, okay, and you're young on top of that, so I don't know. I think it's a lot that goes into it, but
still got my baby face.
Look, me too. Look, people just need to tighten up.
Yep.
But yeah, I think stereotypes are just always there, but it's enhanced when you're in certain settings or when you're in certain environments. It's just emphasized.
Yep.
So I think, like you said, having those open conversations where, okay, what have you experienced? What have I experienced? Mm-hmm. Having an open forum and then be able to, I say, not necessarily come up with a solution, but how can we support each other in that space so that we all can grow and thrive?
Yep. Like, because, I mean, we all have, like, commonalities, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, even just, like, as far as our campuses, like, you know, I was in Columbia, you in KC,
mm-hmm.
but the classroom vibe is still the same, and like how you feel mm-hmm. like in that environment is still the same, because either way we were still the minority like at the end of the day. So at what comes to that point, like we got to talk about that, because
mm-hmm.
we all go through some of the similar scenarios, so maybe we could talk about those to help those that are coming up
absolutely
to be prepared for that.
Absolutely.
Because when you walk into class the first day, it might be just a little shocking. Shouldn't be that shocking, but
Man, at orientation, my P1 year, I said, where are they? I'm looking for...
where are my people?
For my people. Where are they?
I need a study group.
Literally,
man.
Something. Because, and that's not saying, I want to preface that we're not saying you can't study and relate to people that don't mm-hmm. look like you, but it is hard being the only one in the room that looks like you.
Yep.
You know, like, where there might be men in the room, there might be women in the room, but there's nobody who looks like me. There's nobody who can necessarily relate to me or my culture or whatever. So that can be hard in whatever field you're in, engineering, law, pharmacy, whatever. Like, that could be a lot.
Yep.
So I think we just got to be there for each other.
Yep.
We got to be there for each other.
And I think you hit on a good point, too, as far as, like, when we have the same desire to be in the same room. Like, it's okay that we are the minority in mm-hmm. that room. Like you mentioned, it motivates you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to be in that space, to be able to prove to beat that stereotype is like, yo, I'm here too. Like,
I'm him.
They must have amnesia. They forgot that I'm him.
No, for real. Humble beast, bro. Like, we don't say that enough. You
absolutely.
Know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
I am him.
Absolutely.
Let's not get it twisted. But, you know, we still working. Like, there's work to do. But yeah, we don't say that enough. And that's what
for real.
That's literally it.
Yeah. And I do want to also say too, skin folk and kin folk, unfortunately. You may look for your people
there.
In the room.
He went there.
And your people just ain't your people. If you know what I mean, if you know, you know.
If you know. You know.
We've all had that encounter.
If you know, you know.
Unfortunately. Clarence Thomas behavior. I've said this so many times on this show. but pulling it back in, so what systemic issues within education or healthcare do you believe contribute to the underrepresentation of black students in any profession, but specifically pharmacy?
Yeah, I think the biggest one to that, that's a great question. The biggest one, I think, to that is standardized testing. Because I say that first just because I haven't met that many people who have told me that, bro, I did amazing on the PCAT, that are black students. Like, I know there are definitely, you know, a few that have,
mm-hmm.
but majority that I've talked to, they're like, bro, like, I tell people all the time, I'm like, bro, my PCAT score... Bro, I shouldn't have been in pharmacy school.
I had to take it 3 times.
Woo!
And then the year after, UMKC School of Pharmacy said, we no longer require this exam. I said, y'all can't be serious. Y'all can't be serious.
The trauma, brother.
Man.
but, like, no, dead ass. Like, I took the PCAT twice. Not much improvement the second time. I'm like, oh, bro, like, this probably a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, I feel like a lot of people probably just experienced those same experiences just because... as black students, like, those tests were not designed for black people.
Absolutely.
They weren't and still aren't. And I would say that's one of the biggest ways. Even, like, I mean, it stems back to the ACT. I don't even think I did great on the ACT.
Yeah.
Like, that is what, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to the crib. Parents, like, what's up? You know you know what I'm saying? Like, bro, we paying for college prep education. Like,
I'm like, I'm no tell you. I tried.
Literally, like, I'm like, bro, I get great grades. You know what I'm saying? Like, GPA is great.
Absolutely.
But, bro, this test.
Kind. You is smart. You is important.
So that's why I say standardized testing for sure. I don't know what that looks like as far as, like, NAPLEX rates.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be interested to look into that.
Yeah.
But I would say standardized testing, one, just to get into pharmacy school.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say like lack of resources that also play like a big role in just why we aren't able to get into pharmacy school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for one, pharmacy school is dumb expensive. I mean, it ain't med school, but I'm like, bro, I got debt.
It ain't cheap either.
I got real debt. So
insane debt, and I'm not even finished.
Right. So, you know, and not everybody is fortunate enough to even be able to obtain certain financial aid or scholarships. Like, it's not enough out there for particularly just minority students in general.
Mm-hmm. Spare change, ma'am.
I think Mizzou took away their diversity award, and I'm like, wow, that's crazy. Like, it's like 10 G's mm-hmm. over 4 years. So it's just small stuff like that, lack of resources, even just gatekeeping, is another term that I like to use because we don't share enough information on how to get there. Mm-hmm. Like getting into pharmacy school is, first off, it's no easy feat.
Absolutely.
And you got to jump through all these different hoops just to get into pharmacy school. And so when we don't share that, what happens then? Now, oh, bro, I ain't even know I could do that.
Literally.
I ain't even know we were supposed to do that. That's how everybody, I'm like, oh, like, literally. Come on, bro.
Speak up. What you
like,
mean?
Oh. So, I mean, that's what I mean, like, lack of resources. So, like, even there's, I feel like that's, like, upon people like us to continue to pass that note. Because just like you said, all skin folk and kin folk. So, certain things don't get passed.
Absolutely.
To us. So, I definitely think those are just, like, a couple reasons that I can think of that are why we're underrepresented in pharmacy school, for sure.
Definitely. And I want to build off that, too, because I feel like what you said about the gatekeeping, it's just unnecessary, where it's just like, if I can help you in any way possible, so it's like, oh, like, don't study for that class this way, try this way. Or maybe go to this tutoring session that really helped me. Maybe go to her office hours. Like, just different tips and tricks where it's like, yeah. I have to do this struggle, but I don't want to see you do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody got a struggle in some way, but if you can help somebody, it makes everybody's life 10 times easier.
So much better.
And then, too, just, like, lack of representation, I think, overall. Like, I think in this building we have one, maybe two black professors. So it's that I've seen. So it's, and that's not knocking, you know, the program itself, but mm-hmm. It's just a lack of representation. So when you add up, like you said, everything you said, plus representation, plus gatekeeping, plus standardized tests, it's like that is a hindrance factor for a lot of students of color, specifically black people.
Yep, exactly. And I mean, just like even just like the lack of representation in the profession, like I think Absolutely. what the stat is, I think it's like 5-7% of all pharmacists in the United States are black
mm-hmm.
or identify as black. And when you think about that, like, before I got into pharmacy school, I was like, I don't know a black pharmacist.
No.
So, like, I don't even know what they do.
Yeah.
So, even just the idea of the younger generation not even knowing what pharmacy truly is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they only see it, oh, we finna go pick up prescriptions at Walgreens. Like, mm-hmm. that's because that's what you see. That's what you used to. But you don't even know that, oh, pharmacists work in hospitals, too. Mm-hmm. You didn't know that. I mean, you might have wanted to be a doctor, but did you know you could be a pharmacist too?
Right.
Because I mean, doctor as in like MD, because PharmD is doctor. Just let
there you go.
Know.
There you go.
Still flex that
because people be playing with us.
So yeah, I mean, yeah. If you wanted to be like a surgery, you know, going to surgery, a heart surgeon, whatever that is, whatever MD that you was looking at. But then maybe you love medicine so much that you want to be a pharmacist.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, and that's not to say that there's a lack of black doctors out there either, as far as healthcare doctors. So I feel like we just don't see enough of us
mm-hmm.
in these spaces, and I think that stems all the way back like to high school, like high school career fairs, different stuff like that. You usually don't, I don't remember like a pharmacist no. coming to that.
No.
And so when you don't see that, you know what you see most of the time. It's, mm-hmm. it's just what comes first to mind. So I feel like there still needs to be more of like a push for pharmacy, for students that look like us, because you can do this. That's the whole thing. Like, when you think of, like, a preceptor, like, I didn't have any black preceptors,
yeah.
like, at all. And I think that's also super important, just, like, that representation factor, because mm-hmm. as a P4, I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I'm finna be a pharmacist. Like, we already yeah. know this. Even, I mean, P2, P3, I'm like, I'm gonna be a pharmacist. That's for
and
sure.
And no plan B, baby.
I know that's right!
Like, that's for sure. But then when you walk in a room and you see one, you like, oh, yeah.
Immediately, let me talk to you.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of things that stems to it, but.
Yeah, I feel that. So mentioning preceptor, I know recently you just became a preceptor,
right? Yeah. Okay. Working to it.
Okay. So how was that process for you? And I guess why did you feel the need to become a preceptor?
Yeah, I mean, really, I wanted to become a preceptor just kind of like the fact that I just mentioned, like, I always wanted to walk into the room and see a black pharmacist, but then also to be able to pass that torch, right? Like, mm-hmm. I've been fortunate enough to get to a position where I can now pass that feedback back. And I feel like that kind of fills into, like, the mentorship that I, you know, seek to do. But as far as a preceptor, I think that journey has been a little interesting. So, like I mentioned, I did residency. Mm-hmm. And a part of the residency program, we had like an optional to do like a teaching certificate program. And I knew for me, like, I had no experience teaching. I know they told us a part of the residency program, we would host APPE students and different things like that. Mm-hmm. But to actually be the person to lead the rotation, I was like, I didn't have any experience like that. So that's why I, like, opted in for this teaching certificate through the University of Wisconsin, Madison. Mm-hmm. Their School of Pharmacy had a teaching certificate program. So decided to do that along with my co-residents. And really during that program, we went through maybe like 5 to 6 different workshops. Mm-hmm. And they were all centered around, like, how to make effective learning objectives, how to develop a syllabus, how to develop a APPE schedule rotation. And usually, like, those workshops were taught by a resident cohort. Mm-hmm. So we were with residents from, like, all around the Wisconsin area. And we would all come together, like, 5 to 6 times throughout the year and learn just, like, a new way to how to lead a particular rotation or be an effective preceptor. And so I went through that just because I wanted to gain certain knowledge and gems that I could pass on so that I could learn how to create my own rotation. Mm-hmm. But not only just create a rotation, but build something that was meaningful. And that's why I like went through that program. So the journey to trying to do that now. So now I've fortunately landed a role. So it comes to the point where I have to get in contact with, like, the university, mm-hmm. Experiential coordinators, and then set up time to develop, like, what that rotation looks like. Is it going to be virtual? Is it going to be in person? Like, literally all the logistics behind it. And mm-hmm. then also send them a syllabus. They'll have to approve such syllabus to make sure it meets the requirements that you usually have on rotations and different things like that. So a lot of work goes into it. And then also, you know, you have to get approval through your organization or job as well.
Yep.
As far as, like, your manager to allow you to have students. I was like, I know. Us at Navitas, we already have, like, a program for AP or APP and IP students specifically for, like, the University of Madison, Wisconsin. So I wanted to expand that to UMKC to, like, provide a different rotation for this. I know for me, managed care rotations were slim.
Right.
And that was just, and I think that also answers the question as far as, like, why I wanted to do a preceptor, because there aren't many managed care rotations out there. Yeah. I remember my P4 year, man, when I said I got left red on so many emails that I was sending out to different, like, former preceptors.
Damn! I'm sorry.
Maybe like that.
I'm like, hey, you know, I'm interested in managed care. I wonder if I can do your... Boy. I know y'all names, too.
Oh!
But, you know, that's yeah. So, I want to be able to, you know, pass that to somebody else. I want to be that person to be able to actually host students who may be interested in managed care. So, and then also, just in case you just want a different experience, like you said, a lot of people don't know what managed care is. So mm-hmm. just so you don't have to be, you don't have to want to be a managed care pharmacist to do it, just to give you, like, a different that outlet, experience. into that world. So
absolutely. I love that. Yeah. Props to you. Cause we need more of us in every single realm, pharmacy, any other profession, every single realm.
Yep.
So I know you mentioned AMCP, right?
Yeah.
So are you currently involved in that side of pharmacy school? Like, what all are you involved in, I guess, post-grad and alumni life?
Yeah. So, yeah, still involved in AMCP. AMCP stands for the Academy of Managed Care of Pharmacy. And still involved within that. And what it looks like post-grad, is more of kind of just like a continued education piece.
Mm-hmm.
So recently I attended, like, their day of education where you'll go, they'll present on different topics that are happening around in pharmacy. Gain CE credit, because we all need those credits for the license. Biannually, we got to get that in. So So yeah, I do that for that, but then also it's a part of the portion where you can actually get involved with students too. Mm-hmm. So meeting different students who are particularly interested in managed care is another kind of like outlet that I enjoy about that as well. So now just kind of being on the flipped end of that, mm-hmm. Is something that I like do within that organization. Outside of ASP, also shout out to BSPO. Got to give y'all shout out. Real deal, y'all doing it big.
We love the family.
So, you know, being able to try to get more involved in that as well, you know, now that I'm back in the area, want to get more involved in it and continue to stretch our hands to our younger generation with that. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I think it's super big on just giving back.
Now, I really like that, too, because UMKC has a thing called the Sojourner Clinic. So mm-hmm. being a part of that, stuff like that, being part of organizations where we're able to run a free clinic for patients and underrepresented or low-income communities where they can still get access to pharmacy, where it's medicine, or they can get access to dental care. They can mm-hmm. get access to just seeing their whole person where, okay, are you okay? Do you need, you know, a follow-up? Do you need certain checkups, whatever it may be? So I like giving my time like that too. And then honestly, being a part of national organizations, like, I like it because you get to go to conferences, you get to travel. It's like a whole compass thing. Like you get to meet new people and then meet new students and hopefully broaden that impact, so to speak.
Yeah. I was like, those conferences, those, bro. That's why you really need to be a part of the mm-hmm. organization. Mm-hmm. And I was like, even just like that piece too, like we talked about networking, right? And during those organization meetings, you have the opportunity to network. So I think at CMG, Dr. Weaver had asked a question. He was like, like next steps. And it threw me so back because I was like, wow, what is my next steps, bro? Like, mm-hmm. And I was like, my bar always asked me, like, what's next? Yes. What's next? And so that's why I like going to events and being a part of organizations like that is super important because it keeps you thinking, like, what's next or who, you know, whoever you meet, building connections outside of whatever organizations you were part of with. Because mm-hmm. Honestly, we already know pharmacy's small.
It is.
Like, real small.
Everybody know everybody.
And then when you specialize in certain realms, you know, wherever that may be, bro, it gets even smaller. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's, like, super important to continue to be involved with those organizations to do that because the tree just keeps going. It keeps branching off into different ventures. So,
absolutely. And that networking key is so vital because who you know sometimes is more important than what you know or what's on paper because they can get you indoors. That your merit got you in the door.
Yep.
But knowing certain people or knowing people will take you so much further. That's why it pays to treat people right all the time.
Because
you never know how somebody's going to come back in your life or how they're going to impact your life. So it's like, treat people right, do what you need to do, and God will bless you. Ooh. That's what I feel.
Yeah. You better get the preaching out here. Hold on, be careful.
Speaking of preaching, so I know you attend the CDKC church. Yeah. Okay, shout out to the city.
Shout out to the city.
Pastor 83 and Pastor Jessica, y'all doing y'all thing. Keep it up.
Yeah.
So in what ways has your faith shaped your approach to challenges and responsibilities in your profession?
Yeah, I think the way, honestly, like, I feel like from a very young person, like, praying warrior grandmothers, bro, like, spoke into me at a very young age.
Absolutely.
And that really, like, stuck with me, especially, like, going through school, getting into a profession now still sticks with me today. And really it was building, like, that just, like, having faith or trust in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the things that I feel like that are presented to us don't make sense when it happens, and you can question it or you can say, he placed this in front of me, what we gonna do about it? Are we gonna embrace it? Are we gonna run? Like, what are we gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the times I take it as like, I'm gonna just embrace it, you know what I'm saying? Whatever happens. And I try to keep that kind of like dear to me. That's how I usually try to put, like, my best foot forward in a lot of the things that I do because I know that God just got a plan around it. I may not know right now. I may not know tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I may not know 2 years from now.
Absolutely.
But I'm going to find out one day.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you just got to continue to trust that you right where you're supposed to be, no matter what that is. So I think that's like the biggest way that I tackle like challenges. And then I think it's even like deeper when you try to think about, or not even deeper, I think it's very intricate when you think about faith and medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Like how does that combine, right? That, yeah. Like that, you get real funny when it gets to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I hate to sometimes try to put those in the same realm because it's different. And I want to even say it's different. It's just like, I know medicine wouldn't exist without a higher, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I try to tackle things. Like, as far as, like, I feel like I'm relating this back to my grandmother. Hope she might watch this. It's okay, though. You know, when they try to take certain medication, they're like, God got it, you know?
Just pray to Jesus.
Yeah.
He's going to take care of
it. Yeah.
And he will.
And that's what I'm saying. I can't say that he not, because I know he is. But I can't say that he not. But I'm like, also, I'm like, yeah.
He put us here for a reason.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, but yeah, you still need to take that, though. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. I was like, this is here because of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And trying to, like, combine that a lot. But I think, really, you just got to put God first in a lot of the things that you do, because that's how I got here. Some of the things, your accolades and different things, they don't even make sense. People are like, bro, how you do that? And I don't even know.
Literally.
I got one answer for you, because it's the only one that makes sense to me.
Absolutely.
And so that's just how I feel like you just got to tackle a lot of things.
Definitely. And I feel like, too, like, even when you don't understand, you sure don't like it. It's like, you don't. And it's like, God, what are you doing? You know, I'm tired of being your strongest soldier. I don't know what's going on. But it's all going to work out in your favor. I truly believe that. Through the obstacles, through the ups, through the downs, it's just building your character. It's making you stronger. And honestly, I think it's just going to make you a better practitioner, just mm-hmm. in the role, whatever you do. Because like you said, that balance of faith and medicine, like, it's something. It's yeah. something. I did a rotation yeah. this past summer at Christian Hospital in St. Louis. And okay. I was shadowing anesthesiologists.
Mm.
That's the people who put you to sleep during surgery, check on you before, check on you after. Yep. And when we went and spoke to the family after the surgery, went successful and everything else, the anesthesiologist that I was shadowing, he said, oh, can I pray for you and your family?
Mm.
And that was the first time I ever seen that. And I don't know, it just stuck with me. And he was like, can I pray over y'all? You know, can I pray over your family member? And it was real powerful. And I'm like, mm-hmm. that I want to be able to incorporate that into my profession. You know, yeah, whatever I do, being able to, that balance of faith and medicine, being able to spread the word of God, introduce it to people, but yeah. then also do my job, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's real powerful.
I feel like that's been, like, just recently within me. It's like some of my grandparents been going through some things, and what you call it, the doctor would come in. And, you know, they'll start off before even doing, like, a consultation, which is pray.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that just, it just hits a whole different part of your spirit where it's just like, okay, I'm right where I'm supposed to be.
Absolutely.
I got the right man for the job.
Absolutely.
Somebody who believes in the higher now believes in, yeah, like, it transforms the whole treatment plan, bro.
It really does. It really does.
And, yeah, as a pharmacist, I feel like that's, like, super important
mm-hmm.
To really recognize, at least for those.
Absolutely.
That believe. So it's major. It's major keys.
Absolutely. All right. So building off of that, what is one piece of advice that you want to leave the audience with?
Yeah. As far as to leave y'all after this great episode, man, is to continue to believe in yourselves. You know, wherever you are, wherever you at right now listening to this, just continue to believe in yourself. Continue to build your confidence. Trust in the process. Continue just to know that, like we said earlier, you're right where you're supposed to be. You're going to greater places. But, you know, also stay within the grind, man.
Yeah.
Keep grinding. I think that's all how we continue to grow. Also, advice, seek mentorship as mm-hmm. well. Because just like I feel like it's an exchange. And as like a society to continue to grow all together, we gotta, as far as like being a mentor and having a mentee, I feel like I can give as much value as they provide to me as well.
Absolutely.
Because you in one place, I feel like somebody that's younger in a new generation, they got advice that we could take too,
mm-hmm.
that we can apply to ourselves. Like, of course, we can feed into them and give them different gems, nuggets, whatever you may be. But also know that you have value too. And they need that as well. And that's how we continue to get closer, continue to grow. And it's only up from here. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Never let anybody dim your light. Well, I want to thank our special guest for attending today. And as always, please like, comment, subscribe, or share. And together, let's change the world one soul at a time. Peace. We gone.